This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. I guess you guys have never been in a bar or bat mitzvah or any kind of a Jewish service where you did the chorah, because that song comes from our tradition, from the Jewish tradition. And you're missing out if you haven't seen Stephen Colbert dance to it. He jumps and jumps, and it's just such a lively tune. So next time I told to David, we need a tambourine next time. So we're all set for next time. Before I forget, I wanted to say that this is traditionally Candlemas in the church. So I remembered that yesterday. And so I came this morning and put these out. And so what we'll do is, as you come up for communion, I would ask you to light a candle for someone you love, or just to light a candle. And remember that this is the coming of the light. Now, I have to tell you, how many of you are from up north? Okay, that's what I thought. You all get that this is because spring is coming. People like Mary Ellen don't get it because I live in everlasting spring and summer in Florida my whole life. But that's why they did this, and obviously in England it would have been dark. So today we have a baby, Jesus, presented into the community. And you all have done that, right? You've all been presented into a community somehow. Maybe yours was not as formal as Jesus's in the temple, but in the tradition, 40 days after the birth, the mother would go to the temple, and then she was purified, and that was a tradition that would happen. So they took Jesus to the temple. It was originally called the Purification of Mary, but then Candlemas, and now it's called the Presentation of the Infant Jesus at the temple in Bethlehem. This is Jewish law. So it's a dual celebration. It entwines different themes of dedication, light, and prophecy. So in this one, we meet two of the most beloved people, Anna and Simeon. Anna and Simeon. So Simeon means God has heard. So the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing at evening prayer, is about, I can die now because I've seen the Messiah. That's what Simeon said when he saw Jesus. So he is extremely dedicated, and he constantly was serving God. Anna's name means grace or favor. Grace or favor. And she's in the tradition of the female prophets, who we don't have that many in the Hebrew Testament that we know about, but she's in the tradition of Miriam, who was Moses' sister, Huldah, Deborah, the judge, and then, of course, there's always the most memorable one, Isaiah's wife. Well, it's like Noah's wife. Come on. I said to Charlie, when I die, will I be known as Charlie's wife? My husband laughed. But that's the way it was, you know, and that's the way it is. She's a great woman of prayer and fasting and dedication. But as I was reading this, I was thinking about the annual meeting too, but I was thinking about this whole tension that exists in Christianity between the individual, the self, and the community. And if you think about Christianity over the ages, you have these people who were individually very spiritual, right? The monks in the desert and all that. But then you have this incredible outreach to the community that Jesus calls us to, like the monasteries. I always reminded my students in class, who do you think invented hospitals? Christians, monks. Who do you think invented schools and universities? Well, yeah, the Greeks had something to do with it, but basically the monasteries had these incredible places of learning. So that was a community coming together. And you know, you have to find this balance in life, don't you? The balance between yourself, and if you focus too much on it, you become narcissistic and evil, Or if you focus too much on the community, you lose your identity and you exist only with the influence of others, which is also evil. So you have to find this balance. And this ancient nuns and monks knew that we are called by God to a deep spiritual life of prayer and fasting, but we're also called to community, to the work of sacrifice and altruism. This is the balance. And I don't know about any of you, but I sure find it hard. I find it very hard to find that balance. So I'm fascinated with this power of the individual and how we interface with the community. Today, Jesus is introduced to the Jewish community, and we here are a community at St. Joseph's. So we are waiting and watching for God on our personal journey, but also this is a corporate journey, right? This is a corporate journey that we're going through as well, and we've had some bumps in the road in the last few years. Do you agree? Okay, so that's what means we have to come even stronger together. You know, I have to remember right after 9/11 how this country came together like it hadn't come together since World War II. And that's what we have to do again. We have to come together and figure out how to accomplish things. Thank you. In 2012, I traveled with St. Mark's in Fort Lauderdale. I was the associate priest then there. And we took a group of people to Navajo land. Has anybody in here been in Navajo land? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's just an amazing place. And we were doing a vacation Bible school for the kids out there. But we were sitting around with Mother Cynthia Gill. Did anybody in here know Mother Cynthia Gill? A very profound woman who, like Anna, was very dedicated to God. And what happened is we were all sitting there one morning and we got a call because Cynthia was so integrated into that community that they called her and said, get over here right away to this hogan. A hogan is like a teepee. It's a like a big tent that you go into. So we went into the tent, and there was this little girl who was 12, 13, who had just gotten her period. She had just menstruated for the first time. So I don't know about the other women in here, but I was told it was the curse and I'd get through it. This girl was not. This girl was dressed by her maternal, these maternal women that loved her so much. It took them about a half hour, 45 minutes to dress her, and it was all hand beaded. And they dressed her and they wrapped her and they put everything together. And then guess what? She had to run 5 miles. Yeah, she had to run 5 miles with the women of the tribe because she had to be strong. She had to be strong in life to face other people and nature and all the things that come and assail us. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in terms of an initiation. I just thought it was amazing. And the fact that we were privy to it was only because of Cynthia's deep and profound connection with this community. It was elaborate, but it was also this statement of great truth. It was magnificent and memorable. And she didn't know the future. I don't know where that young woman is today, but I'm sure she remembers it. And she remembers that she trusts the adults who were leading her into this next stage of life. I started thinking about the hero's journey and about society and how in some works of fiction, there's some real great wisdom that I love. I know that you all remember I'm an old English teacher. And the first person I thought about was Huck Finn's journey down the Mississippi with Jim. I hope some of you have read that. Absolutely. Okay, some have, some haven't. If you haven't, you should. And I love what Huck says. This is amazing that Mark Twain could say things back then, and it comes true today. That's just the way it is with some people. They get down on a thing when they don't know nothing about it. Sound familiar? Yeah, it does. And the other thing I like that he says, and I would say that this is probably more Mark Twain saying it, right, than Huck, but this one you've heard before, but this is where it was originally. If you tell the truth, you do not need a good memory. True, right? Another author I adore is C.S. Lewis, and one of my favorite works of his is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it's interesting because Aslan is Jesus. If you've seen it, you know that. And what Aslan the lion says, this really struck me big, this one. All shall be done, but it may be harder than you think. All shall be done, but it may be harder than you think. And then the beavers tell Susan, when she says, Susan says, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. And Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. So what C.S. Lewis is telling us is Jesus is not safe. We are called to take risk. We are called to a life that is going to include pain and anguish. But Jesus is good and Jesus is with us the whole time. And then I was thinking about Maya Angelou. And I know why the caged bird sings. And she says, and people are quoting this all the time, and they don't give her credit, so I want to give her credit. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Pretty good, huh? And then, of course, Maya says, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and be unsurprised by anything in between. And the last one I looked at, it's just amazing to me, the positivity and the optimism of Anne Frank. Just imagine being her age and going through what Anne Frank went. And this is what she says. I found that there's always some beauty left in nature, sunshine, freedom, in yourself. These can all help you. And then she said, it's really a wonder that I haven't dropped all my ideals, because they seem so absurd and impossible to carry out. Yet I still keep them because in spite of everything, I believe that people are really good at heart. I found that to be transformative. That at the end, Anne Frank can be that positive about humanity. Some days I'm not that positive, but we need to remember that Jesus is. And then, as I've quoted before, Joseph Campbell of the world. The journey of the hero is about courage to seek depths, an image of creative rebirth, the eternal cycle of change within us, the uncanny discovery that the seeker is the mystery which the seeker seeks to know. You are a mystery, and you're seeking your own mystery. So as we realize the power of the individual and community, and yet we know that with rugged individualism, really, I don't think anybody did anything by themselves. If you've been around a baby lately, they are the most vulnerable. They can't do anything for themselves, right? Somebody did that for you. So we have to remember that. People are doing stuff all the time for us. Thank God I don't have to grow my own food. That would be very difficult, but other people are doing this. We're all this power of that. So let me say that we have to be self-actualized, and yet we also have to engage in community, understanding that we can live in both parts, right? Be both parts. So I want to end with a quote by Joseph Campbell. We must let go of the life we have planned as to accept the one that is waiting for us. Find a place inside where there's joy, and the joy will burn out the pain. Follow your bliss, and the universe will open doors where there were only walls. Amen.